Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. And in checking out the various meanings of that word apprehended, Paul said, I haven't arrived at the pinnacle of perfection yet. I haven't arrived. We're on the way. We're saved, but we haven't arrived yet. Paul said, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect or spiritually mature, be thus minded. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this even unto you. The word of God goes further in verses 17 and 18 to say, brethren, be followers together of me. It's a strong statement there. Paul said, I've set an example. You can follow me and mark them which aren't walking according to the things that you've learned and seen. And in verse 18, it said, for many walk whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Well, I believe today we're not the enemies of the cross, but thank God we are the friends or the born-again believers of the cross, finished work of the cross. There's three things that I want to talk to you about this morning that are going to vitally affect the year that is before you. Don't intend on being long, don't need to be long, but I do want you to get these three points. Paul said, this one thing I do. I don't think there has ever been a society that has been challenged with more stuff, more things, more sounds, more noises, more news. Even in the kingdom of God, there's so many voices and so many choices. And I've referred often because it made a real effect on me. I watched this lady through the years. She said, I have five pastors, and I happen to be one of them every once in a while. And she was one of the most confused ladies I ever met in my life. She was a sweet person, but she was confused. You can't drink by everybody's fountain and by everybody's what God said to them and try to mix all that. You've got to be where God places you and listen to what God has to say and follow through. Now, there's three things that Paul deals with here in Philippians, the third chapter. It's an all-important time in our lives. Paul deals with our past, Paul deals with our future, and Paul deals with our now. And whether you're flat broke, or whether you're under the barrel financially, or whether you are set for life, and you don't have to worry about anything monthly or weekly, or you just even... it's so far beyond that, you just thank God you've arrived. Whatever your level is, this message vitally affects every one of us. It affects me as a pastor. And as I look at Paul's writings, Paul said, our past. He deals with our past, forgetting those things which are behind. Now, there may be some of you that live just kind of a ho-hum, plain vanilla life, but most of us are moving in some direction, a lot of directions. And what he's dealing with here, God is using Paul to emphasize this truth. Brethren, I count not myself to apprehended, but this one thing I do. This one thing I do. And this one thing is revealed in three different stages of time. Forgetting those things which are behind. Now, for 50 years, I've preached balance. And I still preach balance, but I preach radical balance. But those who aren't in balance, try to drive a car whose wheels are out of balance, especially the front end. And before long, it'll not just be the wheel, it'll be your whole front end that will have to be replaced and repaired. It's important for those things to be in balance. Forgetting those things behind. But he said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Now, what do you mean by that? We are to forget what God says to forget And we are to remember what God says to remember. The naysayers would have you forget all that God has done for you. You know, as I look at what God has done over these years, I cannot forget. I would be remiss if I forgot all the times and all the ways that God has worked miracles in my life and our family and in the families of those that attended this church, and all the deadlines and all the things you face in three different locations and going through beginning times with no money, and then you move up bigger and still you're always challenged. If you're doing something for God, you'll always need some money. I mean, as far as the work of God goes. If you have a car that's in the garage, you never drive it, I've got a word for you. You don't have to fill up the tank every week. You don't have to be concerned about the levels of fluids. It'd be good to check it every once in a while, but if you don't use it, you don't need to feed it. But if you're busy with that automobile or busy with that truck, you'd better take care of it, and it'll take care of you, forgetting those things which are behind. God's word is full of admonitions to remember. So forget not all of his benefits. I mean, you're thoroughly scriptural when you remember the times you didn't have it and God gave it, the times that you couldn't make it and God helped you through. God wants us to remember. God wants us to thankfully remember the past. And I am a much better pastor today because of things I've gone through in the past. There are things that I can say, I've been there, I know where this is going. I can see where you're going, and here's my word. And sometimes it's heeded, and oftentimes it's not. But you see, things I have gone through have taught me what works and what doesn't work. I not only know the word, but I've been like you. I've been out in some deep waters more than once. And I've learned, and I'm still learning. I'm learning every day, and I'll be learning in this year. God teaches us in the word, we're to remember the things that God did. Never cease to be thankful for the saving power of God in your life. Never cease to be thankful of the right people that God put in your life. Never cease to be thankful of the provisions that God has made. I remember the first little project house that we had. I think it was $8,000. Right about $8,000. And the payment was $87, if I remember correctly. That was the taxes, that was insurance, that was the principal, that was all of it. Big house payment. And even at that, because we were on very limited income, there were times that it was a strain. And there were a couple of times when God had mercy and grace, and we just almost bumped a deadline. Then things leveled out, and God began to help us in a different way. I remember those days, and I thank God that God made a way where there seemed to be no way. A little $87 seems like a distant dream at this point. But you know, as you look at the ways that God brings us through all the times, even with the storm situation, and 3 miles from our former location, God opens up 17 and a half acres here. I mean, I'd be an ungrateful fool if I forgot to say thank you, Lord. This church could be no more today, and if that's what God wanted, I'd say yay and amen. But God has made a way where there seemed to be no way. God's given us a school building that we never had before. God's given us a gym that we never had before. Those are big things if you don't have them. I mean, there's a difference in sleeping under the bridge and sleeping in a nice home. Remember the things that God has done for us. Remember those difficult days, those tight days, those days when you're in school, those days when you're trying to better yourself through your education. Remember those days when you didn't know how you're going to feed your children and all the things. Remember that. But there are things that we need to forget. There are things that we need to forget. We need to learn that there are things that we must leave behind. And I am officially today just going on record. I used to say I've just about seen it all in the ministry. I stopped saying that a few years ago. But you know, today I'm going to, by the grace of God, put the past behind us, and we're going forward. I'm going to put the past behind us, and we're going forward. We love people. We love to serve people. We're honest. We're honorable. Everything we do is checked out, and legally, we've been applauded on more than one occasion as being a church that has more things in order than the majority of churches across America. We do things right. We do things right. But you know what? Even if that's not enough. So, okay. So whatever it is, that's your problem, not mine. We're going to go forward. We're going to win souls. We're going to go after missions. We're going to keep on praying. We're going to keep on educating our young people. We're going to do the work of God, forgetting those things that are behind. Forget things that you can't change. I'm going to forget the past, and we're moving forward. We're moving forward. Calvary Cathedral International is moving forward. Praise be unto God. We're moving forward. But forget those things that you can't change. And I started to say forget the people you can't change, but there's a time you need to forget some people that won't change. I mean, I meet people. See, I was born in Harris Hospital. I'm a Harris kid. I was born in Harris Hospital. I meet people I've known for years that have never changed. I mean, you can talk to them for 5 minutes at a hospital or on the street or wherever. They're chewing the same rag they were chewing years ago. I don't mean that it attend this church, but I mean, you know, whatever has happened to them in life hasn't changed them one iota. Brother, I'm out for change. I want to change. I'm willing to change. Hallelujah. I'm willing to change. And if I see where I need to change, and God shows me that, or something is apparent, I'll make a change if it's a godly change, if it's a good change. But you know, we're constantly faced with things that we can't change. We can't change. Amen. I'm not the only church and I'm not the only pastor, but there's things we can't change. There's people that are not going to change. Well, I tried. We tried. We did everything we knew how to do. So we go forward. We go forward. We've got to bury the past. I said, we've got to bury the past. Leave the past behind us. Forgetting those things. Forgetting. Forgetting. He didn't say dismiss. He said forgetting those things which are behind. Forgive what God says to forget. And remember what God says to remember. Forget things that you can't change. Forget. There's some people you need to forget. There's some people I've had to forget. I was better off in the forgetting process. I did everything I could. Learn, but don't let your past ruin your future now. Forgetting those things which are behind. You know, that's a very simple word. You don't need Greek or Hebrew to understand that. There's some things you need to forget. There's some things I need to forget. And when we get through this service, it may be one thing. No names, no signatures, no nothing. I mean, if there's something you're going to leave at the altar today, we're going to leave our stuff at the altar today, and we're going to put the past behind us, and you're going to crumple it up, and you're going to, if God leads you to do that, just put a piece of paper there. That's very important. We're not playing a game with that. That's very important. Now, what about our future? Our future. Well, you can't go to your future until you bury your past. You can't go to your future unless you bury your past. Reaching forth to things which are before. Stretching. Reaching out. That's what God's calling us to do. Reach forth to the things that are before. Stretch out. You know, believers have a bright future. This church has a bright future. And I'm telling you, that new roof is a sign from God that better things are on the way. Every time you see that new roof, you know, I saw some butterflies for gifts the other day for a certain type of gift. And you know what a butterfly is? It's a sign of new beginnings. A butterfly is a symbol of new beginnings. Once it was just a worm, But then you see it and you say, how beautiful is the butterfly? But it wasn't so beautiful when you saw it in the making. Our future, reaching forth to things that are before. Our future is so bright. Eternity with Jesus. Isaiah 41:10 said, fear thou not. Don't be afraid. I am with you. Be not dismayed. I am thy God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you or hold you up with the right hand of my righteousness. In Isaiah 41:10, he said, behold, I will make of you a new, sharp, threshing instrument. Did you ever try to cut with a dull knife? My. God said, I'm going to make you a new, sharp, cutting instrument. Threshing instrument. God's getting us ready for a sharp year. A good year. A year of harvest. I will make you. I will help you. I will hold you up. Believers have a bright future if they believe God and His Word. I believe God. And Satan will try to get your mind so divided, so distracted. You know, one of the things that preachers have to watch, I know especially pastors, but I mean, you have to watch as the weekend approaches, because Satan always has his little stuff. Try to put a nail in your tire. I'm talking about spiritually. Or try to get you something that'll get you off track. When I have a special assignment from God, I have to be very, very careful to keep my spirit intact, to keep my spirit and keep my vision on the Lord. Everything in the world wants you to quit, stop, turn to the left, turn to the right, get sour, get bitter, get offended, and on it goes. But our future, don't let your past rob your future, your bright future. Don't let it. Because the people that are so involved in your life right now, one day, I mean, I look back to people that at one time I thought my life was in some of their hands, the way things were. I mean, this has been a number of years ago. It's been more than once that I've been through some challenging times. And you know what? I have to think real hard to even remember those people now. And at one time, they were the biggest thing in my life, the biggest threat, the biggest thorn in the flesh of the ministry. But it's like nothing. It's like nothing. Because I've gone on and they went back. I'm moving forward. They're moving backwards. We're moving on to the prize, the high calling in Christ Jesus. Reaching forth. Not reaching down in that same old sack. Getting your fingernails dirty with all the stuff at the bottom of the sack. Not reaching back into that same old sack of unbelief and he say, she say, they say, who say. Oh, reaching forth, reaching forth, reaching forth to the greater grace and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Reaching forth. And then our now. So our past, our future, but our now. He said in verse 14, I press toward. I press toward. I press toward the mark. For the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Folks, do you realize the prize that is at stake? I mean, for some of us, the years that we'll be on this earth are much less than they used to be. But do you realize we're going for a prize? This little earth walk is going to be over. And that little saying that I've heard ever since I can remember being around church, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. That's the only thing that matters. It's the only thing that matters. Only what's done for Christ will last. Who won a certain bowl game or who won a certain trophy or who did this or who, you know, very famous things of years gone by. You couldn't even name some of the most prominent people in the founding of America. Of course, we're not all historians. But you can't remember that. But they were part of it. But he said, I press toward the mark. They did the best they could do in their day, their time, their generation. And now the ball's with us. Now it's with us. Amen. For us to press forward. For us to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Hallelujah. Praise God. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So there's our past, forgetting those things that we need to forget. And if you don't, it's going to ruin you now. It's going to ruin your future. Our future, reaching forth, reaching forth, reaching forth, reaching forth. And our now, I press toward. I'm pressing toward. What am I doing in the pulpit this morning? I am pressing toward. Spiritually, I'm putting the past behind. Spiritually, I'm not letting my past ruin our future. I'm pressing forward in the now for me. And because I'm called to be a pastor, I'm pressing forward for you. I'm saying, come on, child of God. Come on, saints of God. We're going to press forward together. This is a team effort. I said, this is a team effort. And we're seeing that in different aspects of the ministry. We're seeing the concept of team stronger than we've seen it before. A team can do more. A rope is not one strand. A rope is many strands woven together, and therein lies the strength of that rope that holds that big ship next to the dock. Not one strand that you could pop very easily, but that rope, that thick rope, is a series of strands together. And I look across this audience today, there's enough firepower in this room to absolutely foil every plan Satan has for the greater Metroplex area. There's a power in this room. There's a strength in this room. There's a unity, a stronger unity in this room than I've felt in I don't know when. But you know, there's a verse that God wanted me to bring conclusion to that are now and pressing forward. Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20. And I want to just, Galatians 2:20. Write it down. For I am crucified with Christ. The only way you can take care of your past and your future and your now is to let you be nailed to the cross. Well, I have good news for you. Jesus has already been nailed to the cross. And Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. I identify with the life, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I am crucified with Christ. I know that doesn't sound right. I mean, that just, unless you know the dynamics of God's Word, that sounds strange. I'm crucified with Christ. There's a lot of death going on. There's a lot of terrorism going on. But they're not crucified with Christ. It's just a thing of terror. It's a thing of terrible things happening. But in Jesus Christ, we died on that cross. If you're born again, you died on that cross with Jesus. Except you didn't have to be on that cross. You didn't have to shed your blood. They didn't have to drive nails into your hands and spikes into your feet. You died on that cross with Jesus. I'm crucified with Christ. But nevertheless, I live. Now, preacher, you're into some strange waters. I thought you were a walking dead man. I am. But there's another side of me. Thank God. I am crucified with Christ. Galatians 2:20 it is. I think I said 3 a moment ago. 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Well, explain that one. Well, yet not I. I live, but yet not I. But Christ liveth in me. Christ liveth in me. This church believes in the in him, of whom, in him, truths of the Word of God. We teach that in our Bible college. We're not just an old dirt bag looking for another disaster to happen. I'm crucified with Christ, but Christ lives in me. Christ lives in you. In your darkest moment, Christ lives in you. In your most difficult time, Christ lives in you. Hallelujah. I mean, just, I dare you to say, Christ lives in me. And here's the truth that I want to leave with you on this now. And the life which I now live. Boy, if you're asleep, wake up. Wake up. The life that I now live. That's plain. That's plain words. That's Texan talk. The life I now live. Do you understand? The life that I now live. I live in the flesh. Well, then what's the big deal? What makes you different? Glad you asked that question if you didn't. I live by the faith of the Son of God. It's just the rest of your year. It's just the year that's before us. Get a hold of it. I'm crucified with Christ, yet I'm a walking dead man. But I'm not a dead man because Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live. What about you? What about your life? What kind of life are you now living? Well, you know, for bad luck, you know. Oh, get off that. Get off that. The life I now live. You ever been through anything, Pastor? Dear God, yeah. I'll be glad to see this one. Go out, go out, go out. Bye bye, gone, gone. But the life I now live, I'm going into the new year with the life of God in me. The life I now live. And get a hold of this now. Lord help me to say it right. You know, it's all by faith. Someone said, well, are you into that faith message? Well, man, whatever else is there? Got saved by faith and grace, you know. What else is there? I'm kept by faith. I'm protected by faith. I mean, you know, it really is all faith. But here's the thing. Sometimes my faith gets stretched. Sometimes my faith is kind of strained. Sometimes it seems like I can't get there from here, and I'm stretching as far as I can stretch. But Paul had learned the secret. The life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. When my faith seems to run out, I transfer to His. Thank God there's a faith that's greater than Bob Nichols' faith. And he's dealt to every believer the measure of faith. Every believer has been dealt with the it's not a laying of hands thing. It's not the book you read, or it's not somebody's new revelation. If you're a born again believer, you have a measure of faith in you. And then we're trying to help all of us develop that. But thank God I have something that's even stronger than my faith. I live by the faith of the Son of God. Hallelujah. Who loved me and gave His life for me. Are you tracking with me? I live by His faith. Lord, I need some help. It's like over in Uganda, we have those big old diesel engine out there. And because there's so many blackouts and so on, we have to put a lot of fuel, a lot of diesel into that generator. But when the electricity goes off, the generator kicks in. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, thank God for that Holy Ghost generator that says, I got you covered. I got you covered. I'm with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Woo! Hallelujah. When the electricity goes off, the power comes on. I live by the faith of the Son of God. I live by Jesus' faith. Glory to God. Don't let me shout by myself. Dear Lord, I live by the faith of the Son of God. When your money runs out, His generator turns on. When your health runs out, His health is unlimited. When there's no one to help you, His help is unlimited. When I've stretched as far as I can stretch, His generator kicks in. And I'm telling you, if you don't understand it right now, I'm living by the faith of the Son of God. I'm working on His faith. I'm preaching on His faith. I'm on His dime right now. Hallelujah! Our past, it's time to forget the negative past. Don't let your past ruin your future. Our now, we're reaching out. Don't let your past ruin your future. Press out. Now, after the emotion has subsided and you're not in this auditorium anymore, then the enemy will try to come in and try to bug you. Plug in now. Plug in now. If you have a lot, if you don't have much, if you don't have anything, plug in now. The life that I now live, the life that Calvary Cathedral International lives now, we live by the faith of the Son of God who died and gave Himself for us.